This is VOA News in Washington. I'm Jeff Custer. Israeli Defense Forces confirmed early Friday they have notified residents in Gaza City to leave for their own safety and protection after it vowed to annihilate Hamas after its fighters stormed through towns and villages in southern Israel last week, killing 1,300 Israelis, mainly civilians, and making off with scores of hostages. In a live stream briefing on social media, IDF spokesperson Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Karikas told Gaza residents, "You will be able to return to Gaza City only when another announcement permitting it is made." The Associated Press reports Hamas, meanwhile, has called for everyone to remain steadfast in your homes and stand firm in the face of this disgusting psychological war waged by the occupation. Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has expanded his crisis talks from Israel and Jordan to include all of Gulf Arab countries and Egypt. VOA's senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain reports.
After his visit to Israel Thursday, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with Jordan's King Abdullah and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas in Amman on Friday, before traveling on to Qatar. He was asked if he was worried that Israel was retaliating against Hamas in an emotional response it might later regret.
What Israel is doing is not retaliation. What Israel is doing is defending the lives of its people and, as I said, trying to make sure that this cannot happen again.
Blinken said the U.S. is focused on working with international organizations and partners in the region to establish what he called safe zones for Palestinian civilians. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
The Russian Defense Ministry said Saturday in its daily intelligence update on Russia's invasion of Ukraine that it is not in Russia's best interest to block any Ukraine-bound trade in the Black Sea. Russia's Black Sea fleet capabilities remain largely intact, the update said. This is VOA News. U.S. Representative Jim Jordan won the Republican nomination to lead the U.S. House of Representatives Friday, but the hardline conservative appeared to be well short of the support he would need to seize the Speaker's gavel. Reuters correspondent Jillian Kitchener has more.
Jordan, who serves as House Judiciary Committee chair, tormented Republican leaders for years as a vocal advocate for the party's right wing. He has the endorsement of former President Donald Trump. He also has the endorsement of Kevin McCarthy, who was ousted as House Speaker on October 3rd in a historic vote. Jordan narrowly lost the nomination on Wednesday to Steve Scalise, who was seen as the heir apparent to McCarthy. But Scalise abandoned his bid on Thursday after it became clear he could not consolidate Republicans behind him.
That was Reuters correspondent Jillian Kitchener reporting. New Zealand's centre-right National Party, led by Christopher Luxon, will form a new government with its preferred coalition party, ACT, after Labour leader Chris Hipkins conceded he could not form a government following the country's general election Saturday. The National Party, now in opposition, had 40% of the votes, while the ACT party had 9%, which New Zealand's Election Commission said, based on the current tally, would give the two parties enough seats to form a government. National Party leader Luxon addressed supporters in Auckland Saturday.
And tomorrow morning, New Zealanders are going to wake up to not only a new day, but the promise of a new government and a new direction. And this great country of ours has so much potential, and our new government will help realise it. And I have to tell you, I am humbled by tonight's support, but I am so energized by it too. And I cannot wait to get stuck in and to get to work.
The National ACT majority is slim and still may need support from populist party New Zealand First to form a government. National Party has campaigned on providing relief for struggling middle-income New Zealanders, bringing historically high inflation under control and reducing the country's debt. Australia Saturday decisively rejected a proposal to recognize Indigenous people in the Constitution and a major setback to the country's efforts to reconcile with its First Peoples. Nationwide, with 45% of the vote counted, no led yes by 57% to 42%. Of Australian broadcaster ABC and other TV networks had projected at least four states, New South Wales, Tasmania, Queensland, South Australia, would vote against altering the 122-year-old constitution. In a televised statement, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese acknowledged the defeat of the representative, saying at the outset he wanted to say that the result is not one that he'd hoped for. Their successful referendum requires at least four of the six states to vote in favor. In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.